Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yuggera, Turrbal and Yugapul people, the Yugambeh, Kombamiri, Nunukul, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners, tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, more beautiful weather. Wind is on its way out. Exhibition winds up tomorrow. Hopefully we've seen the last of the westerlies. We didn't see much of them. Maybe we've seen the last of them. Who knows? Today's show, my guest is Marilyn Haynes. Marilyn Haynes is a retired medical laboratory scientist and is a member of Queenslanders for Safe Water. Marilyn, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. Welcome. Thanks, Tiger.
Thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
It's great to have you here again.
Good to be here. Yeah. Yes. Always good to see you. Pleasure.
Now, fluoridation. It's a health concern. It's a health issue. And we're seeing discussions and debates, and as recently as Catalyst on the ABC, where there was a one-sided view presented. But the health issues, what are the concerns with fluoridation from your position?
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, it's not just the health issues too, it's a big political issue and it's a human rights ethical issue. But with, we'll talk about those later, but with the health issues, this is a medication. These are chemicals that are put into our drinking water, chemicals that are imported from China, chemicals that don't exist in nature, but they release fluoride ions into the water. And they're put into our drinking water for the intended purpose of supposedly decreasing tooth decay or preventing tooth decay, right? But when you look at it, when you look at the dental surveys and dental studies, there's hardly any difference at all between fluoridated areas and non-fluoridated as far as tooth decay. It's a tiny fraction of a tooth, if anything, and they claim these as huge percentage differences. You know, here, 65% tooth difference, and you look at the figures and it's, you know, 0.017 of a tooth surface out of 100 and over 100 tooth surfaces in a mouth. So there's hardly any difference.
There's deliberate manipulation of information.
Absolutely. Exaggeration. I mean, 50 years ago, 12-year-old children had like 12, an average of 12 teeth with decay. Nowadays, they have an average of only one tooth with any decay in it at all, you know, whether they've got a filling or they need a filling. And it doesn't matter whether you come from a fluoridated area or a non-fluoridated area. Tooth decay has come down dramatically in the last 50 years, and it's not because of fluoridated water, although they claim this. They claim it's water fluoridation's made the difference. It probably is fluoride toothpaste that's made the big difference because there's such a massive amount of fluoride in toothpaste, and that's how fluoride works, if it works, is by when it touches your teeth with toothpaste, not when you're drinking it into your body all your life for the rest of your life. But it, because fluoride is a, such a tiny a molecule, it's really hard for kidneys to, for people to excrete it. And the way you excrete it is through your kidneys into your urine. And if you have impaired kidney function, you can't excrete that fluoride. Even if you have really good, healthy kidneys, the best you can excrete, get rid of, is 50%. So half the fluoride you're taking into your body all the time goes into your body. Yeah, it goes into your body. It stays in your body and it accumulates where anywhere there's calcium, in your bones particularly, in your ligaments, your joints. It even accumulates in the pineal gland in your brain. But nobody, and they know this, they know that it accumulates in your body because you can't get rid of it. And if you've got kidney disease, and so many people with diabetes and Aboriginals have higher rates of kidney disease, so they know that it's accumulating in the body. They know the NHMRC, National Health and Medical Research Council, says that people with kidney impairment have a lower margin of safety for fluoride and their retention rates may be three times normal. But have they ever investigated the cumulative effects of fluoride? They haven't, you know. Fluoride is an endocrine disruptor. It can lower thyroid activity. There's an epidemic of hypothyroidism in Australia. Have they compared Brisbane rates of hypothyroidism before it was forcibly fluoridated to Sydney, which has been fluoridated for years? They have never done this. They've never done any health and safety studies, and they make these outrageous claims that it's proven safe. They have absolutely no basis to do that. There's so many things that it can affect. People can be sensitive to it, have chemical sensitivity. They say there's been studies done overseas, and they say between 1% and 5% of people can have chemical sensitivity, and then they exhibit dermatitis. My sister was one of those type of people when she lived in Townsville. Skin rashes, migraines, joint pain. But do they investigate this in Australia? No, they just make these claims. It's proven safe. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's linked to this rare bone cancer, osteosarcoma. Any studies that show this or indicate this, they dismiss and they put up their own stuff, which is, you know, the ridiculous ones where they use their normal controls of people with bone cancer. This is the sort of, you know, manipulative things that they do.
Yes. The ABC show, Catalyst, what was that?
Oh, that was last week. It was absolutely disgusting. We had heard that they were going to do an episode on fluoridation. And I contacted them weeks beforehand and said, are you going to do both sides? Are you going to do one-sided? You know, what are you going to do? Eventually, when they got back to me and they told me who was going to be on, it was Queensland Health Dentist and this professor of toxicology who has written, you know, bias, talk about bias. The dentist has travelled all around Queensland on behalf of Queensland Health promoting fluoridation to councils, urging them to keep forced fluoridation going. The other guy, Michael Moore, has written to every single council in Queensland asking them to continue forced fluoridation. So you have the two really ardent promoters of fluoridation being interviewed on Catalyst, and that's what they focused on. They didn't really present anything on the other side of fluoridation, of the harm, the ineffectiveness, you know, the ethical arguments, things, information. We'd given plenty of information. Catalyst claims that they're Australia's premier science investigation show. But when they did this incredibly biased, one-sided story, you know, really they should, the ABC should hold their head in held, their head, you know, in shame.
Hang
absolutely.
Their head in shame. Yeah. And it's these two guys are two of the guys that are deliberately manipulating information by saying that there are dramatic differences or improvements.
Yes.
With teeth decay.
Yeah, the Queensland Health Dentist.
Not the fact at all.
No, said there was a massive difference between Brisbane before it was fluoridated and Townsville when it was fluoridated, you know, with the children. Massive difference. And this is what I was saying. It's this tiny fraction of a tooth difference. And they're basing on the study from 1996 with data collected in 1990. They ignore anything, you know, and that's a tiny fraction of a tooth, and it's claimed to be this massive difference.
Who's interested these guys operating in? I mean, who benefits from for people like this to go around and try and encourage the councils in this state particularly to continue on with fluoridation?
Well, we don't know. I mean, they must know that it doesn't work. You know, there's tiny differences, if any. You know, some areas with fluoridation have more tooth decay than without fluoridation. They must know it doesn't work. They must know there's harm or potential harm to people. We really don't know why they're doing it. I think it's just this ingrained belief. They believe for 50 years that fluoridated water would make a difference. I think fluoride in toothpaste with a massive amount of fluoride does make a difference. But, you know, they used to think that you had to ingest fluoride into your body. Now they know that's not the case. They acknowledge that the effects are topical. So now they're trying to say that this tiny amount of fluoride that would touch your teeth when you're drinking it.
All right.
But you're drinking it into your body for the rest of your life. They're saying that fluoridated water has a topical effect on your tooth. But you put fluoride toothpaste, 1,000 parts per million, and they're even selling toothpaste with 5,000 parts per million because they say that has more topical effect. So they want to have their cake and eat it too.
Yep.
You know, there's no need to be ingesting it in our body. Sure, put it on your teeth, spit it on, brush it off.
People have a choice here. If the councils didn't control it and say we're going to fluoridate the water. If there were people there that believed in fluoride being required for teeth health,
to drink it, ingest into your body,
but they could take they can use a toothpaste is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, everyone has toothpaste.
Yeah,
95% of toothpaste has got fluoride in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
So it's not like hard to buy fluoride toothpaste.
Exactly.
It's on every Woolies and Coles shelf. It's everywhere.
Yep.
Everyone has access to fluoride.
So they still have access to their
fluoride. No one is being denied.
Yes.
Being denied access.
It's just that your point is that this is a mass medication and it's unauthorised. It's against your and my will.
Yeah, they never consulted with us. They never gave us a choice. You know, they're saying, they're putting these chemicals in their water, saying it's going to have a medicinal effect, a therapeutic, a preventative effect. Well, it's, in that case, it's a medicine, right? Do they ask us? A doctor wouldn't do this. A government or the councils are doing to everybody what a single doctor couldn't do to a single patient. Exactly. Yeah. And there's no follow-up. There's no control over dose, because how can you tell someone how much water they're allowed to drink? Some people drink 1 litre a day. Some people drink two. Some people drink 10 litres a day. You work out.
There are people who only don't drink water.
Yeah, or they live on Coke.
That's right.
And Coke would have fluoride in it as well, because anything, any foods, any beverages that are made with fluoridated water have got fluoride in as well.
Yeah.
So it seeps into all foods.
By gee. On a world scale, what's the percentage of countries that fluoridate? I mean, is it an issue on a world scale?
There's only a handful of countries in the world that fluoridate more than 50% of their water supply. Right? Overall, the world's population, 95% of the world's population do not fluoridate their drinking water. A few countries in Europe do allow the sale of fluoridated salt, you know, like we have iodized salt, but it's voluntary. So people can choose to buy fluoridated salt or not. And they tout this, the fluoridation promoters tout us, oh no, they don't fluoridate their water, but they do allow the sale of fluoridated salt, but it's a voluntary thing. And if they were so thinking, well, this is a solution, why don't we scrap water fluoridation, fluoridate salt, and allow fluoridated salt to be sold for those people who want to really still ingest fluoride.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't. They want to put it into everybody's water and not allow anyone a choice. The only choice that people have is if you can afford to buy a reverse osmosis filter. You know, you're looking at $500-$700, and then you have to do the maintenance to replace the filters every year.
Yes, it's a cost. Now, what about here in Brisbane, in Queensland, sorry, the Queensland situation? There are, as recently as the last few days, there's been a Queensland Shire Council has made the decision, no fluoridation for their residents.
Yep, on Monday, Mount Isa Council voted unanimously not to proceed with their fluoridation project. They'd already, the water board was already building the fluoridation plant, which had, the contracts had started before the legislation changed. The end of last year, Campbell Newman overturned Anna Bligh's mandatory fluoridation legislation, and he returned the decision-making to councils, as it used to be, right? Since then, 17 councils have voted to reject fluoridation, either ending existing fluoridation plants or not deciding not to use the plants that had been built, or deciding not to go any further down that pathway. You know, they might have done concept designs ready for the to building plants, and they decided to stop it there and not go any further. So that's 17 councils. The last one was Mount Isa, which was really good, seeing it was unanimous. And Mount Isa was good too, because in the end they were looking at it. They decided to have a referendum, and it was a voluntary referendum, so only enrolled voters could vote. Of the ones who voted, it was nearly 1,000 people participated, 89% voted no fluoride, no to fluoridation. So the council took notice. They allowed the people to have a say. The council noticed, and they voted unanimously not to fluoridate Mount Isa, which is something very different to what's happening down here in southeast Queensland. Graeme Quirk, the Lord Mayor of Brisbane, as soon as the legislation changed, he was on TV saying, it's staying in Brisbane's water. No, there will not be a referendum. So effectively, Graeme Quirk is deciding the mass medication of 1 million people. And because Brisbane is part of the water grid, every other council that's on that water grid can't end fluoridation because they can't afford. Once it's in the water, it's very expensive to take it out. But to end it, if all the councils on the water grid just said no, one out, all out, it'd be really simple to do, really cheap to do, you know, just turn the tap off, basically.
Is it as simple as that, just by just turning a tap off? Because it has been said in the past, oh, it's too expensive now. You know, once it's all in place, it's too expensive to stop fluoridating the water.
All you have to do is turn the tap off.
It's as simple as that.
But if your one council connected to another council, well, one council wants to keep going with Graeme Quirk,
yes,
then because it's in the water, because of Brisbane saying, no, we keep it, then it's very expensive. But if they just turn the tap off, you know, a few thousand dollars plumbing, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Really simple to turn the tap off.
So people that aren't in favour of fluoride or aren't in favour of fluoride should be looking at Quirk. Here in Brisbane, local residents, local audience, should be contacting the Brisbane mayor.
Yeah, definitely.
And applying the pressure.
Yep. See, it hasn't even gone to a vote. It hasn't even gone to the Council of Mayors, right?
So
it's basically Graeme Quirk said it's staying and that's it.
Yeah.
So talk to your local councillor, ring up Brisbane City Council, ring up Quirk's office, send him an email, send him a letter saying this isn't good enough, end it. You know, we weren't given a choice. It was forced on us. Go back to the status quo. Take it. Stop it. You know, just turn the tap off. End it.
Mm.
Because he's not a doctor. He shouldn't be forcing a medication on anybody.
Yeah. And there's even the option of, well, have a referendum. If you're so strong with your position, Quirk, let the people have their say and have a referendum.
Yep. Well, a referendum is a double-edged sword because if 51% of people vote to keep fluoride in the water,
right,
adding fluoride,
right,
should they decide the fate of 49%, you know, or 60%, if there's a big fluoride promotion? I mean, Queensland government did a massive fluoridation promotion when Anna Bligh announced fluoridation. There was ads on the TV and the radio day and night for months, you know, in the newspapers. So they did a big, huge fluoride promotion years ago. We're just concerned if there was a referendum that the government or the councils might do another huge fluoride promotion. But one thing that does give us comfort is that back in 2005, when Peter Beattie put some money on the table for a few years to encourage councils to take up fluoridation, not one of them did. Campbell Newman was Lord Mayor of Brisbane and he was being shown these surveys, you know, that 60% of people want it all. And he said, while 30% of people don't want fluoridation, I won't force it on them. So he recognised that if you have a, you know, proportion of the society that doesn't want it, you should, you know, our feeling is that not one single person should have fluoridation forced on them because it's each individual's right to reject a medication. And unless you can afford $700 up front, plus money every year to buy a new filter. You know, why should you? They say, I'll buy a filter. Well, put up the filter. Provide the filter, you know, to anyone who doesn't want it, anyone who has a medical condition, diabetes, kidney disease, you know, chemicals, anyone. You know, but they won't do that. Mm. They won't give us a choice. And they just say to you, buy a filter.
Yeah. As if it's so
simple. Really arrogant.
Marilyn, some years ago here in Brisbane, and you would recall it, a lot of houses had tanks, rainwater tanks. But then there was a council bylaw, I think it was under Sawley's watch, where all the tanks were removed, weren't allowed.
Mm. But we're back to having tanks again with the drought, when they had the drought.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not allowed to drink that water.
That's right.
You know, you're only allowed to plumb it into your toilet if you use it, or if you use it for gardening, or you're not supposed to drink it. That's the thing. So. Mm. You can have a tank, but theoretically it's not supposed to be plumbed into your kitchen, so you can drink it easily.
Yeah, yes. So you can't win.
And if you're in a nursing home, you're in a retirement village, you're in an apartment, you know, you're living in a flat, moving from flat to flat, you can't go putting a tank in. You can't afford it, and you haven't even got the chance of putting a tank in.
Other states in Queensland, I think Lismore, you quoted Lismore just over the border.
Yeah, the same day as Mount Isa, Lismore. Mm. Council has just voted to not fluoridate. Lismore and Ballina Council were two councils that had decided, it was a couple of years back, to fluoridate. A lot of pressure was put on them by the Dental Association and by the government. They decided to fluoridate, and then a fellow in Lismore, an activist, took them to court and through the New South Wales Land and Environment Court, and then he lost. He took it to appeal, and that appeal was rejected just a matter of a month back. And so in that case, the coast was then clear for them to resume their fluoridation plan. So they decided after this court case to revisit it. And they've just decided to reverse their decision and not fluoridate. And now Ballina Council is also looking at it. So hopefully they might decide not to fluoridate too. So that's really good news for New South Wales people in the Northern Rivers.
It certainly is. My guest is Merrin Haynes, a retired medical laboratory scientist and a member of Queenslanders for Safe Water. I got a text there from a mate of mine, Russell. Thanks for your comment, Russell. It's opened your eyes about fluoridation. That's the idea of Let's Talk. We're hoping to get people just to think, just to question things. And that's good to hear from you, Russell. Jason also made the same comment, called in. Thanks for your call, Jason. It was a very similar comment. It's opening his eyes about fluoridation too. Merrin Haynes is my guest, a retired medical laboratory scientist and a member of Queenslanders for Safe Water. Merrin, there are three First Nations communities that have also made this decision to not fluoridate their people, to not mass medicate.
Fluoridating under the Bligh mandated legislation, and just this year, the three of them, Cherbourg, Doomadgee, and Northern Peninsula area, which is Bamiga, have decided, well, Cherbourg and Doomadgee stopped fluoridation, voted to stop fluoridation. Northern Peninsula had been fluoridating, their plant broke down, they decided not to get a new one, not to restart fluoridation. Doomadgee was really good. They asked their community, they asked around, they could not find anyone who wanted fluoridation. And also one of the reasons they stopped was because of the concerns about kidney disease. As I said, with kidney disease, people are at extra risk from fluoride if you have kidney disease because you can't excrete it, so more's going to accumulate in your body. So I'm really glad that they did consider that as one of their reasons for stopping it.
Just turn it down a bit. Down, just there. That's it. Good. The kidney, that is a First Nations community. A lot of First Nations people have kidney issues. And if they're in a community where the water is fluoridated, the kidney's already being poor. It just means that there's no improvement there. They're going to get worse.
We're not saying it harms kidneys. What we're saying is, if you have kidney disease, you can't excrete fluoride, so you're going to accumulate more fluoride in your body, and then you accumulate more. Well, it's an endocrine disruptor. It could affect your thyroid more. And I think Indigenous have higher rates of, I think, hypothyroidism is a significant health issue for the Indigenous as well. As for most Australians, it is. We do have high rates of hypothyroidism compared to the rest of the world. Mm. So, yeah, and it's going into your bones too. It accumulates in your bones. It actually changes, fluoride actually changes the crystal structure of your bones. But it's only supposed to affect teeth, but it goes through all of your body. It travels through your blood to all of your body. Lately, in the last few years, there's more and more and more studies coming out about fluoride affecting IQ. There's something like 36 studies now from China, mostly, where they looked at water naturally contaminated with natural fluoride, and the levels are like 2 and 3 and 4 times what we have in artificially fluoridated water. But they're finding that fluoride at these levels, and only modestly raised levels, can lower IQ something like 7 points. There was a Harvard University study released last year, which was a meta-analysis of 27 of these studies that fitted the criteria, their specific criteria, and that's what they confirmed, that the average IQ was 7 points. Well, we need every IQ point we need.
Can't afford to have the IQ being affected.
No, and when you have bottle-fed babies, nature doesn't intend for babies to get much fluoride. There's only a minute amount of fluoride in breast milk. So if nature intended babies to get it, it would be in the concentration in artificially fluoridated water. If you make up infant formula with fluoridated water, those babies are getting 200 times more fluoride than nature intended. And you have a newborn baby, the blood-brain barrier isn't fully formed. So you can get more fluoride, penetrating into part of the brain. And this could be, it is a neurotoxin. They've known for donkey's years that fluoride is a neurotoxin. These studies that are indicating a drop in IQ, why are we putting a neurotoxin into our drinking water that babies are going to get. You should be doing everything you can to protect babies.
Most certainly. Got a caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Yeah, Tiger. It's Glenn. I'm a long-time listener.
Glenn, is
listen,
it?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, listen, I've been listening to the show on, about this fluoridation of the water, which I totally disagree with.
Yep.
I'm an electrician, and I worked on the installation of these sites, or these fluoridation plants on water treatment plants around southeast Queensland when they were installed. As far as the councils or SEQ Water, who controls these plants, it would be a cost saving for them to turn them off. And it is as simple as turning them off.
Yeah, right.
That is how simple it is. Because it is just an injection system that is put on into the water on the final treatment of water. And it is how easy it is just actually turning it off.
Turn the tap off. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the fluoride itself, it would also be a cost saving for them because of the health risks to the people who work in these plants and the procedures they've got to go through when they're handling this product. It is a costly process. So it would be a cost saving on two fronts.
All right. What are those safety precautions? What are the health and safety issues
the actual rooms where the fluoridation takes place, where it comes in a powder form. They've got to mix it with water, and then they inject it into the water. You've actually got to wear a full body suit with full respiration to go even to enter those rooms, because if you inhale it is quite detrimental to your health. So there's not only the issue of people ingesting this stuff in their water, there's the issue of the plant operators that have to work with this stuff. It's something we don't need, and it should be stopped.
That's a good point you make, mate. If you got a suit up like that just to get it into the water, I mean, that's a good indicator that it's not good for us.
They have specific rooms that they built for this fluoridation to take place in these particular rooms where all the equipment is placed for the process to happen. And as I say, you've got to go in there to do electrical maintenance in these rooms, you've got to fully suit up with breathing apparatus to go into these rooms.
All right. Hey, buddy, okay. Thanks. Yeah, man, thanks for your call. Hey, it's good to talk to you.
Okay. Bye, mate. See you. Bye.
You have a good day. Bye now.
Thanks,
Glenn, for that. Interesting. Yeah,
that's a really good point too. I mean, not only are they putting people at risk who are drinking fluoride, they're putting the workers at risk too because of the dust. I mean, a teaspoon of fluoride, the chemical, will kill a grown man, you know, within minutes. Mm. You don't want to be breathing this dust in. Mackay Council actually had this problem with dust in their fluoride room, and they actually closed the plant down for about 6 months because of the dust issues, the concerns, the workplace health and safety issues. And they built a new, they'd done all these changes. Mackay Council is council, one of them has decided to keep fluoridating for now. But I mean, I think that's irresponsible and arrogant that they're putting people at risk with these really incredibly dangerous chemicals. And when there is issues with dust.
Exactly. That's a good point to raise and to let people know that the workers, like Glenn, when he was installing these facilities, have to suit up quite seriously and have breathing apparatus and stuff like that so they don't...
It is ridiculous, isn't it, when you have to have full body suit, hazmat suits, to put this chemical in our water for our health, supposedly.
Our health.
You know, these chemicals that they import from China that don't even exist in nature, but they claim that they're natural.
It's ridiculous. Isn't it? Unbelievable. Now, Cape York, Bamiga, the NPA, Northern Peninsula area, they got beautiful water all throughout Cape York. It's beautifully filtered through under the ground. It's amazing water. And then to go and destroy that and put fluoride in it.
Mm.
I'm just great. I'm thankful that the local council there, the NPA Shire Council, has decided no more fluoride. Mm.
Yeah, there's a couple of other councils too, Torres Shire, they were, Torres Strait, they were fluoridating too, and we just found out the other day that they've switched it off. So there might be more than 17 councils in Queensland that have rejected.
That's great.
Hopefully. Yes. And hopefully there will be more, you know, in the next six months there'll be more. And I think that the more each council by council does reject fluoridation, I think that will have to put more pressure on, you know, Brisbane, with the Lord Mayor of Brisbane. Because, I mean, it's so wrong that one person can decide, you know, it's staying in the water. We're going to keep fluoridating you.
Yeah.
You know, they never asked our permission. And they did these dodgy surveys years ago, which were push polls, you know, fluoride's added to the water to prevent tooth decay. Do you want fluoride added to the water to prevent tooth decay? You know, they give them the answer and then they ask them this loaded question.
Yeah.
And then they use these surveys. Oh, you know, 60% of people want it. Well, I don't care if 60% of people on these loaded surveys said yes. 40% of people don't want it, you know. If one person doesn't want it, that should be enough.
Yes.
I mean, particularly when, you know, there's always a risk. You know, things always go wrong. A few years ago, North Pine Treatment Plant, they actually put out water with 30 times as much fluoride in it that they should have. Fortunately, it didn't go out to the public. Most of it went into the main outside, got sucked back in for a filter backwash. But I mean, if that water had gone out, there would have been a lot of people who were sick, and that might have been the end of fluoridation there and then, hopefully. But just a couple of weeks ago, you know, another incident, Southeast Queensland, SEQ Water, their reservoir had water that was twice as much fluoride in it that should have been, and yet they have all these fail-safe things. It should never have got to that level. It was 1.7. The critical alert cutoff was 1.2 milligrams per litre. So they still, last time I talked to SEQ Water, they don't know what happened. That it was a problem with the concentrator, the mixer broke, but that water should have stopped. It shouldn't have gone out, but it did. The water in the reservoir was twice as much, so they quickly had to dilute the water out with another water from another reservoir to lower the amount of fluoride that went out. So they said, oh, elevated levels didn't go out, but they did. It's just that how they define what elevated is, you know, it's all...
Play on words.
Yes.
Play on words.
So there's always risks. There's always, you know, mechanical problems. There's always human errors. So it's always a risk, and it's just so the whole thing, it's just wrong. Fluoridation is just wrong.
It's just not worth it, really.
If nothing else but forced mass medication, they don't have the right to do this to us. You know, what are they going to do next? Well, it's a slippery slope. Sometime are they going to decide that, you know, cholesterol lowering drugs are good for the population because so many people have raised cholesterols. You know, could they put Lipitor in there? Could they put some, you know, anti-cholesterol? Could they put aspirin in the water for people? It might prevent people having strokes, but then it might give people ulcers, you know, gut ulcers.
Yes, yes.
You know, they don't, what is it? I mean, it's the same thing. Yes. Once they decide that they can medicate us, what's to stop in the future that they will then say, oh, this is a good public health issue, we'll do this.
For sure. Now, it's the local government, they have the authority. The mayors, shire councils have the authority to decide whether fluoridation happens in their local government area. So if people are concerned, they need to contact, they need to lobby their local government.
Yep, the local mayor, the local councillor, write to them, email them, phone them up. You know, next time they see them on the street, have a go at them. Stop this fluoride.
What about the organisation? There's a couple of organisations that are strong advocates against fluoridation of water.
Yep.
One of them is Queenslanders for Safe Water.
Yep.
How can people go into or contact or engage with these organisations if it's only to find out more, to raise their awareness, to help them understand better?
Yep.
How can people?
Well, contact us. Look at our website. The best website we believe is Fluoride Action Network, the one in America, but it is worldwide. Fluoridealert.org. There's a wealth of information there, you know, on dental stuff, on adverse health effects and, you know, different political things, referendums and things that are happening, the rejection in Israel. I don't know if we talked about Israel or not.
No.
Yeah, just earlier this year, about 10 years ago, I think it was, the Israeli government, similar to what Anna Bligh did, mandated fluoridation, right? So that they were progressively fluoridating parts of Israel. But earlier this year, the Israeli health minister announced that mandated fluoridation was to end within the year. And then there was a high court case, a challenge against fluoridation going on at Israel at the time. That decision just came out a few weeks ago. And it seems that all fluoridation, whether it's mandatory or voluntary in Israel, will stop within the year. So, I mean, that's really good news. You know, it can then take Israel off, one of the few countries in the world that practices fluoridation extensively.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, no, well, that awareness is growing around across the world, it appears. Why would Anna Bligh make the decision when she did? What do you think? What do you know about that? She's obviously got advisors that are in her head, in her face, you know, saying these are the reasons, and the AMA or whoever, but why? What do you think?
Well, I think was within 3 months of her becoming Premier. You know, Peter Beattie stepped down and she took up the reins of Premier. And I think myself it was a big political thing for her. You know, a new Premier within, or a new Prime Minister or a new Lord Mayor, whatever, within that first 100 days, most politicians like to do something. You know, this is their big thing. And that was Anna Bligh's big thing. Within the first 100 days, it was even less with her, almost as soon as she became Premier, it was like Queensland's going to be mandated, going to be, you know, fluoridated, that's it. And then a year after she, on her anniversary of her, you know, becoming Premier, she said that was the thing that she was most proud of. And I think, how could she be proud of that? It was disgusting. And I think really, I do think that the people in Queensland Health are so pro-fluoride, like this dentist who's been travelling all around Queensland for Queensland Health. Instead of doing his job as in the dental hospital, he's been, you know, as a paid lobbyist for Queensland Health. They would have been in Anna Bligh's ear as soon as she became Premier. So,
yes, I've often wondered, and there's even that's not a good enough reason or an excuse for Anna to go ahead and do that. Meryl, what else do we need to talk about? Have we left anything out?
I think we've covered quite a few things here today, Tiger.
I think so. The important one is do some homework, do some research, find out for yourself. And then when you can make an informed decision, make it.
Yeah. Oh, there's like so much. That's what we always say to people. Inform yourself, educate yourself. There's just so much information out there. If you go to Fluoride Action Network, fluoridealert.org, there's so many videos on there. I really recommend this 30-minute video called Professionals' Perspectives on Water Fluoridation. They've got doctors, dentists, toxicologists, paediatricians, you know, talking about fluoridation, their aspects of it, the mass medication, the kidney, the babies, the, you know, there's so many aspects there, and it's a really good professionally done video, but there's so much information out there. Mm. And we get accused of, oh, yes, ask Dr. Google. You know, they just Google their stuff. We just found out recently that one of their big arguments that Queensland Health uses, they use a Wikipedia reference. Yeah. That's it. That's their reference. That's their proof.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs.
It is a sad state of affairs.
Sad. It was a good point you made about babies and breast milk. I mean, I think there's a higher proportion of mothers choosing not to breastfeed. Well, things might change, but there was that period where, oh, no, it was frowned on, it was shunned in within society. So more and more younger mums were bottle feeding and stuff. So
yeah, I think it's worked too. I mean, a lot of the financial pressure, I think a lot of mothers have to go back to work sooner than what they would like to. Really rather spend more time home with baby. But because they've got to go into childcare, they've got to go back to work to pay the mortgage or pay the bills. Mm. Yeah, a lot of babies are bottle fed that, you know, mothers would prefer to breastfeed if they could. And some women can't do it anyway. Yeah. They have problems.
Yes, no, it was a good point you made. Yes, there'd be more fluoride in mother's milk if there was going to be teeth.
If nature, God, whatever, really wanted babies to have so much fluoride, it would be provided.
That's right.
So it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Marilyn, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Tiger.
Always good to have you in.
Oh, lovely to be here. Thank you.
And
thank you so much.
Letting people know about fluoride.
Yep. Educate yourself and don't let them keep on getting away with this rubbish.
Exactly.
95% of the world does not fluoridate their water. There's no need for it. It causes harm. You know, it really doesn't work at decreasing tooth decay, and it's forced mass medication.
We've got another caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who have we got?
Yeah, Roachie here, mate.
You can turn your radio down, Roachie. I can hear it from here, mate.
Listen, the trouble is we don't get a choice in what
your radio
we want
is.
To do.
Your radio is loud. Roachie, your radio is a little loud behind you. I need you to turn it down, please, mate. It's coming through on the phone.
As I say, We don't get a choice in what surveys. You know, they might get 1,000 people walking down the mall, but 90% of them people don't know the question they are asking them, and they say yes to it. And the other 10% that don't want it, they don't listen to anyway.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying. Don't worry. Yes.
People drink this bottled water. They think the bottled water is good, but you're better off drinking the water out of the tap because it doesn't have aluminium and all this stuff in it like the bottled water does.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're drinking in the bottled water.
Yeah, I think you're safer.
Out of the tap.
Yeah, you're drinking. I think you're safer drinking bottled water than the tap. You got a chemical cocktail coming out of the tap. You can't. Well, you wouldn't get a chemical cocktail in a bottle.
There's aluminium in the tap.
Aluminium in the tap.
There is a lot of aluminium in the bottled water, and they have tested it for that. So.
Yeah.
One time they wanted me to go to Mount Crosby and put the chemicals in the water, but I wouldn't do it because I would have had to go to university to learn all the chemicals, and. My life, all I wanted to be was a labourer, mate. I didn't want to be some bloody high-fangled, dangle bloke.
Yeah.
I worked in treatment plants, building treatment plants and reservoirs and that all my life. But I didn't want to go there and be some high-up bloke, you know, go to university. I'm not that intelligent.
All right, but, mate. Well, listen.
That lady has a good point, and she's got some good, strong points. And... baby's milk never done me any harm, and it never done my 8 brothers and sisters any harm.
That's right. No fluoride there, mate.
No.
All right, Rachie.
The stuff they put into water, everything now, you don't know what you're getting.
Don't know what you're getting. Hey, thanks
anyway,
for your
have
call,
a good one, Tiger.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, mate.
Okay, Rachie.
You going to the Indigenous Games this weekend?
Well, no, mate. I'll watch it on TV.
Ah, well.
Old armchair. Armchair sportsman, me.
Yeah, me too.
Right, mate.
I'm more speedway racing.
All right. You have a good one.
I used to race speedway cars up until last year. I still got interest in one, but...
All right, then. I've got another caller on the line, so you have a good weekend, mate.
Have a good one.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got?
Yeah, Truckee Gav. Tiger, how you going, mate?
Yeah, Gav. Going well, mate. How are you?
Mate, tank water. Can't beat it.
No one will argue with you.
No, I mean, I'm out of Gatton. We don't have town water. We only have tank water.
Very
fortunate.
And
even if I lived in the city, I still reckon I'd plumb a tank up so I can drink it.
You'd have to, wouldn't you? Yeah, of course.
You know, like, yep. I grew up with my grandparents on the farm, and we only ever had tank water. You know, you can't beat it.
No, mate.
You know, they tell you you're not supposed to drink it without filtering it. And, well, my grandfather lived the 80s, and my grandma lived to the 80s, and, you know, I'm 45, and...
You're halfway there. You're halfway there, Gav.
You can't beat it, you know.
Of
you
course.
Know what's in it.
That's right.
Bit of dirt and dust never killed anyone.
That's right, mate. You're right.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you.
Even in the city, I still reckon I'd have a tank beside the house and just for drinking water.
Yes, no, it's a chemical cocktail.
Exactly. It just fell from the sky. Nothing in it.
Yeah, yep. All right, buddy. Thanks for your call, eh? You have a good weekend,
good
mate.
Good show, mate. Keep
right
it up.
Mate. Thanks a lot. See ya. Yes, tank water. Well, that's all there was. And Gavin's fortunate, living in Gatton, no town water. All right, Marilyn, well, that's probably it for today for us.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank
you.
Again.
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
It's great to have you in. Marilyn Haynes joining me today from Queenslanders for Safe Water. And Marilyn's also a retired medical laboratory scientist, so she's got a bit of an idea on what she's talking about, a bit more than me. She's done a lot of study and a lot of work in the field. Well, we're getting on towards news time. I hope you all have a great weekend. Get to the show if that's where you feel you need to go. But I think we've had some good discussions during the week. So let's hope you've enjoyed it all. I'll catch up with you on Monday morning.